It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Chad's up here. He's got the intro to the show memorized, and he's mocking people. He's Chad is a mocker. He makes fun of people. I'm going to tell you something about Chad.
I'm like a mocker.
When you're not around, Chad makes fun of the way you talk. Dave. Anybody know who that is, Roger? Dave. Now, here's what scares me. I think he's got a mock for me, but he doesn't do it around me. He's not packing a big enough weapon to do that. We're here in Houston. Todd's place. Todd and Leslie's place. Chad drove over here about 3.5 hours to get down here. My wife's upstairs, not awake yet. And we're here for a conference that I don't want to get a whole lot in depth, go in depth about it, because I don't want the enemy to know exactly what it is that we're doing. I don't have my headphones in. If the sound gets, if I'm not loud enough, let me know that I'll put my headphones back in. But I got it like this for Todd and Chad if they want to jump in here. And I got to bed late. All right. On Thursday night, by the way, I'll come back to it. Thursday night. Was that the night? Michelle and I got about 3 hours sleep. We got on the plane. We flew out here. And then last night I got about 4 hours. So if I'm a little bit punch drunk here, I apologize for it. We went to a gathering of, I'm just not going to say much about it. It's really, really good. Last night was the first night of it. Some big name. I got to meet G. Edward Griffin last night, the guy who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. He was there. Dr. Tim Penny, the world's expert on vaccinations, is here. Sheriff Richard Mack is here. Coach Dave Dobenmeyer is here. Tom DeWeese. This is big names, and I was impressed. And so we're just huddling together, trying to figure out maybe how we can get a little bit more on the same page, how we can be more effective. And so I'm wearing myself a little bit thin today. Listen, here's where I want to go today a bit, if we can. Mark, I want you to know, I learned something yesterday. I was sitting in the airport in Orlando, Florida. We had a 3-hour layover in Orlando, Michelle and I did. And I found out yesterday that I can do Coach Dave live on double speed. If you guys go to YouTube and go to the show, you can speed it up to double speed. I listened to the entire show with God, get my brain going here. With Jamie Waldron, thanks. And Mark, and I wish I'd have been in there, Mark, because there's some really, really, man, it was intriguing stuff that you're talking about voice and keeping your voice silent. And you know what? One of the things that really struck me, Mark, more than anything that you said, and I know you got it from somebody else, but I thought about that, boy, last night. If you said to somebody, hey, anybody have an opinion on that? We do it sometime here in the queue. Anybody got an opinion on that? And like nobody says anything. Or you go to with my magician. I remember going to a magic show. Some guy up on stage needed somebody to come up to be the pawn or whatever. Said, how many of would somebody come up here and finally one dial of embarrassment finally walks up there? And then Mark said, if they, you know, if they did that in elementary school or fifth grade or kindergarten, everybody's hand would be, I want to do it. What does happen to us? How does the enemy steal that individuality? Is that even a word? How do we become such groupthink? What happens to us? What happened?
I was thinking about that.
I was fascinated by that, Mark, because, you know,
it is.
We are living in a culture and a society. Hang on a minute, Mark, because this has happened to me. How many of you have been in a fight with somebody because of a text message or an email, something you sent to somebody with no emotion in it, no eye-to-eye, no nonverbal communication. You can't look. You're just reading words. How many of you found yourself in a problem with a buddy because of that? And I got thinking more and more, text, email. We have lost the ability to communicate. And with that, can I tell you this? We've lost our courage. That's what's happened.
Amen.
We've lost our courage because, listen, it doesn't take nearly as much courage to type an email. And I said to my wife yesterday, as I was watching the show, man, a frog here. Where's Victor? As I was watching the show, I said to her, that's why people like to email. That's why they like to text. Because if Mark Trump texts me something, or I won't, I know I love Mark Trump. If Chad texts me something, if any of you text me something or email me something, I read it. And then I think as I read it, And I ponder, think, and come up with, what am I going to say? What did he mean by this? And how am I going to end? So then I ponder for about a minute, sometimes days, sometimes what, right? You guys are with me, right? And then I write a response. But here's the truth. If you're standing right before me and you say the same thing, I don't have time to evaluate what you meant by it, how I'm supposed to respond to it, what the deeper meaning of it is. And I'm going to tell you this. It takes a lot more courage to look somebody in the eyeball and ask them a question than it does to text them or email them. And I noticed it yesterday. Man. I noticed it yesterday with Michelle. We were in the hotel. I haven't been in any hotels. We were in the airport trying to get my motor running this morning. We were in the airport and she was texting. She was texting some. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm texting to see if this got done. I said, hey, call him. Just call him. She got almost mad. But Mark, you are on to something there, isn't it? They have silenced our mouth. They've silenced our voice. And because we do not have to stand up publicly, speak the word, and defend the word, we've lost our courage. We've lost our courage. Go ahead, Mark. Anybody else? Because I really sense, Mark, after your show was done yesterday, man, there were a lot of questions that never got out there. So,
I think so. The analogy of the conference and the lady who stood up and wanted to come fingerprint. You know, that analogy. I was thinking about children. Children start to notice their own ranking with other children. They start to form peer groups.
Right.
And then when they speak out, the kids make fun of them or whatever happens when they speak out, and they start to become fearful, you know, and that's the way we all are. We speak out, somebody condemns us. And then what do? We go into our shell. We're the same. We're those children. So how do we maintain truth, Coach? And the part I didn't get to in the show yesterday is real quick. Why is the First Amendment first?
We know why, don't we?
Right. Well, why the First Amendment is unalienable? Why is it unalienable? Why do founders say it's unalienable? Because God said to speak in the Bible. God said to speak and share the gospel. God said to speak, so no man can take that away, to speak truth.
I had a wise man tell me last night, corrected me. No, he didn't. He said something that I hadn't thought about. I use the word unalienable. Some use it inalienable. Guys, I want you to think about this. Last night, he said unalienable. Unalienable. And I thought, wow, what does it mean to put a lien against something? That's a legal term, isn't it? When you put a lien, you are making a claim to something that is not rightfully yours. So when they say it's unalienable, nobody can put a lien against it. Nobody can do anything about it. Isn't that something? A lien. Jared's pulled it up on the screen.
Amen.
A legal claim as a lien upon a land. So your rights, as Mark's talking about, the right to free speech is a lien, un, a lienable. Nobody can put a lien against it. Nobody, nobody. It is part of who we are. So it's interesting, isn't it, Mark? What, as we said over and over and over, if they shut my mouth, they shut the mouth of truth. If I'm this Christian and I'm Amen. Speaking the truth and they shut my mouth, the truth. It, folks, well, I just, Mark, I'm telling you, I got a deep revelation on that yesterday. I did. But there's something, see, God didn't, in the beginning, and then God texted, and then God sent an email. No, then God said. There's something about the written word being spoken. The words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life. We talk about the word of God. We like to tell people what the word says. Why? See, the word, if it's not spoken, Mark, it creates no power. A written word creates only power within us. I'm not putting that down. That's why people ought to get up in the morning and read the word. Because there's something powerful that's coming out of that word when we read it. But we have to speak the word for it to have impact on others. I'm telling you, man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, think about it this way. What did God do? He confused them. The Tower of Babel.
He changed the language.
Now look what the counterfeiter's doing. He's trying to hinder our language.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
Coach.
Yeah, come on. Go ahead.
You can stay in the Word for hours a day, reading it and absorbing it and even allowing the Holy Spirit to give you revelation on it and stuff. But it doesn't do anybody else any good until you speak the Word that's in you.
It's hey, Larry, if you have to go and speak. Good. The Bible, thank you, Lord. That's just a revelation. You look how many times in the scriptures you're going to read where somebody says, go and say, go and tell. I haven't Googled it. I haven't researched. I'm telling you, the Bible is replete, filled with commandments. Go and tell. Go and speak. Go and say, thus saith the Lord. And then, wow. Mark,
Jonah.
You're onto something, man.
Jonah is us, right?
Yeah.
I just had a thought about what you guys are talking about, why kids shut up, and why we shut up. And think about the Trinity, God, the Trinity. Jesus was sitting in the garden praying. God the Father didn't force him to go to the cross. He didn't even force himself to go to the cross. He allowed Jesus to make the decision and to say, I will go. Even God the Father respected the personhood of Jesus, the man, Christ. And that's what we need to do with children and with other people, is we need to respect their personhood, just like God himself respects personhood.
Amen. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I got 2 points to make. First of all, well, we're going to the beginning. How did God create the heavens, the earth, and everything else? He spoke it into existence. Point number two is, different item, is I wonder how brave everybody would be if we'd all been homeschooled instead of schooled in a public school.
Amen.
Well, that's another issue. I just put my headphones in. Can you guys hear me okay? Because Chad, yes. These guys are getting so loud in my studio. I'm afraid you guys are going to put the noise up. So I put my headphone in there for a second. Yes, Gary, and it comes back to, again, the same thing that we were talking about earlier. What has happened to us? Why have we lost that voice? Because the words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I say, not the words that I read, the words that I say. Now, I understand the Lord wrote the word down, but what is it that has taken young children? Have you guys noticed this? Have you noticed, for the most part, how you can have an adult conversation with a homeschooler? Have you ever noticed that? You can have an adult conversation with a homeschooler. You can have an adult conversation with a school teacher. it's amazing, isn't it? And what is that, especially in today's world, you can say
anything. But don't you go flapping that Bible. Don't you go speaking that Bible. Don't you be bringing that Bible in here. Oh, you can flap your lips about anything else you want to. Mark, I think there's a hidden something there that we're not getting. Somebody else, come on in.
Coach, what was the problem? What was our problem before the computer and all this technology, though?
What do you mean? The communication problem, you mean, Randy?
Is the problem in our heart, in our ability or our obedience to do God's word, speak it, or is it because of the hindrances?
I think, Randy, there are too many voices now. Yeah. There are too many voices, right?
Well, the technology enables an acceleration of the social isolation, Randy. Like before, they didn't have to separate individually because they had to come together as communities. Now, technology enables us to work from home, for instance, so we're not out amongst people. It didn't used to be that way. So technology has enabled Satan to have more of a control over our isolation. That's the way I look at it. Yeah.
Well, here's another point. How about the fact that today, when you want to communicate with somebody, it's harder to reach them than 40 years ago because of things like voicemail and whatnot.
Not only that, Gary, it's a lot more buffets, right? You got different ways to be able to do it, and so the communication you guys can send me an email and I not respond to it for 3 or 4 days. See, that's not how you operate with people, but that's what this technology has done to all of us.
That's right. The eyes are the gateway to the
soul.
So right. If you put everything on the screen, where do you get the data? Through your eyes. Mm. If you hear sound, where does that come in? It doesn't come in your eyes, the gateway to the soul, does it?
No. I'm sorry, I get enough. I just thought. So I was thinking about this. I'm not bragging. You can think I am if I want to. I don't care. So I'm in this group last night, and there were quite a few of us in there, and everybody had an opportunity to say their piece and say about a couple minutes. Some guys went longer than that. And I got my 2-minute piece, and excuse me, the room lit up. The room lit up. Now, why did the room light up? Well, it wasn't just the words. Now, stay with me. Anybody who was in that room last night, are you listening, Chad? Chad, you listening? Or are you talking to Todd over there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Anybody that was in that room last night, I had a couple minutes. It wasn't the room lit up. You could feel what had come out of me in that room. Amen, Chad? You could feel it. Now, why could you feel it? I'm going to tell you why you could feel it. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. Woo! That went down my spine. Because it was spoken in faith. Woo! Man, I felt that again. Faith is a power, boys and girls. Faith just isn't words. Believing just aren't words. When I started speaking last night, you guys have been there. You've seen it. You know what happens, right? And that Holy Spirit hit me. It penetrated out of me throughout the entire room. The zeal of the Lord hath done it. It's what the word says, right? So it was a spoken word out of my mouth, packed with faith, belief. Believing in what I say. Now, you need, I'm not a name it, claim it kind of guy, but I want to ask yourself this. How many times do you speak the word of truth in doubt? Because it doesn't, I'm going to tell you something. I'm getting it this morning. If you speak, you can read that word. We could get Robert Klaus on here and have him read us 17 days of his, out of his wonderful book. 17 days. And it is good, and it's all good. And, oh, that's a mic drop, Robert. Oh, that's good. That's good. But if he isn't saying it, and I'm not receiving it in faith, in other words, if it ain't really real to me, there's very little power behind it, folks. There's very little power.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on just a second, Larry, because here's the point I want to make. when I said last night, how many of you do you think we can win? You think we can win? That power came out. And they felt it, and they didn't know what to do with it. Faith with words. Go ahead, Larry.
As you were starting to talk about your faith words that came out there, this came to me. Faith includes a determination to follow up.
Listen, if you're not reading, see, if you're reading the Bible as a history lesson, that's good. That's okay. But it isn't the same power. If you are in the, listen to me. If you find your butt in some kind of trouble, and somebody says, well, lean on the Lord, coach, lean on the Lord. He's got you covered, coach. We're praying for you here. But if as I'm walking through that thing and I say, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See, there's a difference between the word and the word spoken in faith. And what is faith? Faith is a belief in what you're saying is coming to. Oh man, am I getting that this morning? Anybody feeling that? That's what. I'm not talking about a fake salesman being enthusiastic. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the depth of a man being engaged in the Word of God is absolutely unstoppable. But most of us aren't walking there. Most of us are not walking there. And I don't know the reason why. I wish I could tell you the reason why. I don't know why such great men. I'm sitting in that room last night, and I'm looking around that room, and I ask myself again, how are we losing? How are we losing? And then I had to throw this one in, because the discussion always goes to this. We always... Oh, George Soros, where's our George Soros? We need somebody to fund all these stuff. And I said, are you kidding me? You have any idea how much money there is in the hands of Christians in America? It's, folks, it ain't a money problem. I promise you, the gospel's got plenty of money. It ain't a money problem. It's a vision problem. It's a vision problem. It's a vision problem, not only in those of us who are trying to cast a vision, but it's a vision problem in those who are trying to receive the vision. And there's a disconnect. There's a disc. If you could feel, let's take this thing with the NFL. If I could put inside you what I feel, what I know, but most of you don't feel it. Most of you say, oh, that coach, oh, he's always scheming. He's always coming up. And I tell you, he sure has a way of getting the attention. He sure has a way of grabbing the headlines. And then, somebody say amen, because I know that's going on. I know that's going on. And see, not recognizing the unction of the Lord. The Bible says we have an unction. What is that unction? And how often are you sitting on that unction? How often have you been in the middle of a room with people and there's a discussion going on and that thing comes up inside of you and you think, if I don't say something, I'm going to freaking burst. Right? That's an unction. We've learned to push that unction down. We don't respond off of that unction. That unction, that very unction is the power of the Holy Ghost trying to get you to open your mouth and speak.
Amen, coach. Amen. That's good. Oh,
Randy, I'm getting a revelation this morning. You may not.
Amen.
I'm getting it, man. I'm getting it. And I want you to.
Worse yet, what if you withhold your speech? What if you withhold it? What happened? What did not happen that God wanted to get done?
That's right. That's right. And you didn't say it. And so that power didn't go forth. And remember this, when you speak that power, when you speak it, the purpose of speaking that power is to impact somebody else so they will move and do what they're supposed to do. But we speak the word. The word is powerless if there's no faith and belief behind it. Oh, Lord. But see, now you can't take the faith in the word and say, well, coach, I'm going to believe for $12 million. Well, good. You go ahead and believe for that. But see, if you're trying to take faith in the word of God just to get your money, You're a whore, man. It's a whore. It's not about money. It's about power and influence and the word of God and standing up for truth. It's not about money. What does it prosper a man to gain? The whole world. All the money he could ever have. And lose his soul. And that, because of that, I turned it into a monologue. I'm sorry. Somebody come in here.
No, Coach. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Faith comes by, they got to hear it. How do they hear it, Randy?
Listen, if you can read it, you can have someone speak it to you. But if it doesn't, if you don't get it in your spirit, man, if it isn't faith, it's just words.
Wait a minute, Randy. You know what the Holy Spirit just said to me? Oh, man. Todd, I'm going to come down here every day and do my show.
Actually, no, I think it actually says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God.
Hey, how about this, though? Hey, listen. So, yeah, you ever been with a group of people, and you're in a room, and then all of a sudden somebody says, hey, do you hear that? So evidently sound can be out there, and some people don't hear it. Faith comes by hearing. And acknowledging, I heard that, Lord. I heard that. You acknowledge what you heard, and then you act upon what he says. This isn't hard. But we've got such a great, great disconnect. I often find myself saying, you guys watched here live. I've often find myself saying, is that you, Lord? You guys ever do that? Was that you, Lord? Woo, is that you? Good man. If it was, I'm going to do it. But boy, if it wasn't, help me. Right? I had that one of those Hillary moments when I went to Hillary. I got you, Lord. What? What? And you know what? Hey, Randy, you know what the problem is? People didn't like I did it because they didn't hear it. Hey, Randy, who did the Lord say to go lay the hands on the threshold? Did he tell me that? He didn't tell me that. He told you to do it. He spoke that to you, and you heard it. And when I'm talking about when we're at Hillary's for everybody else, and we walked away from Hillary's, and you hadn't put your hand on the threshold yet, and what did you come to do? You came back and said, Coach, I heard this. I'm supposed to do this. That's why I'm here. I got to go back. See, that was obedience, Randy, in the eyes of in the face of opposition. Everybody's going to laugh at you. Everybody's going to think you're stupid. You're going to get arrested. They're going to throw you in jail. And you walked up. The cop was there. The cop says, can I help you or whatever you want? And you say, yeah, I want to go over. Don't go over and touch that gate. Ready to put your hands out, handcuffs out. And go ahead and put them on there. And what did the favor of the Lord do? What did that cop say to you, Randy? Knock yourself out. Right? Right? Yes. Right? How many opportunities like this are we missing? How many battles like this are we losing because we're not really? Listen, my AHA folks, my abolish human abortion folks, can I get real serious here? You don't think it's murder. You don't think it's murder. If you thought it was murder, you wouldn't be begging elected officials to stop it. If they were murdering children next door to you at your house, what, would you go see the mayor? What, you go call your congressman? So even in the bravado that we are going to, I'm talking to all of us. We know it's murder. You see? We know it is. And what would God say? God would say, stop it. Stop it from happening. And what would we say? Well, Lord, it's against the law. I'm not allowed to go do that. So even that action isn't through faith. It isn't. I don't have the answer. It's like everywhere we look, folks, you better bone up. I listened to Jamie Waldron yesterday. That was really good. And It was all really good yesterday. But we better bone up, because I'm going to tell you something. If you won't stand up for Jesus now, Good luck in about a year. Good luck. If you won't do it now when it's easy, if you won't speak forth the word of God today, what makes you think you're going to do it in 6 months or a year? What makes you think?
That's why, David.
You're fooling yourself. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, sorry, sir. I was just going to say that I just think it's hard to be a gray man and really be an effective Christian.
What do you mean by a gray man?
Well, I don't think you can just operate in the shadows and just, you know, try to whisper a thing or two to somebody as they're passing by or whatever. And you don't have to be out there on top of a mountain either, just yelling it and proclaiming it. But somewhere in the middle there, you know, we need to be, you know, walking the walk, talking the talk, and setting the example and offering love, which is correction and not just acceptance. And we need to be trying to just continue to expand the kingdom as in our daily lives.
So, Chad, it comes to this. You got you folks sitting down? Who's king? Who's king? And until you settle that in your heart, you're not going to be as effective as you could be. If you think the police are king, you think the mayor's king, you think your senators are king, you think government's king, no man can serve two masters. In other words, you cannot obey Christ if the government opposes Christ. And you obey the government, he ain't your king. He ain't your king. And I'm going to tell you the really, really the truth of the matter, and I'm pointing the finger right at me, okay? Our jail cells ought to be filled with people like us. It ought to be filled. But we don't serve the real king. We serve our image of him. And we've bought into this lie how much he loves us. Well, he would never want me to do that. But hey, Lord, please. Hey, send Coach. Let Coach get arrested. Hey, would somebody send Alan Hoyle? Let Alan Hoyle get arrested, all right? And then we'll come and help him. Hey, would somebody send Rusty Thomas? Let Rusty get in and we'll pray for him.
Yeah, we'll pray for him while he's getting arrested.
Yeah, it's right. So isn't he brave? Well, what's wrong with you? Well, Lord hadn't called me to be arrested yet. He hadn't. Maybe you get text messages from him.
Coach, so many times it says this in the Word, in the Bible, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro looking for those who fear him. Okay, why? Because that's the Holy Spirit. That's his job on the earth. He's looking for someone that doesn't have their hands on their ears or their hands over their eyes. He's looking for someone that will be obedient. And Coach, look, he comes to you and he drops in you, hey, will you challenge this system and come against it and put a lawsuit on him and make everybody see this thing? And you've got to either take your hands off your ears and hear and be obedient or he'll go right on by you and he'll find someone else.
Amen, Randy. And so I'm going to ask people this. Chad just came by and gave me a big old hug here. You ready? I love you all. Some of you I don't even know. I hate it when people say, I love my audience. I have the best audience in the world. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know if I love some of you guys. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you this. What's the most courageous thing you've ever done? Well, wait a minute. You don't have to answer. I just want that to sink in a minute. You, the most courageous thing you've ever done. Now, I want to point out something to you. Because I get mocked. I get mocked all the time. I get mocked in my own family. Because they say the crazy thing Coach does. And he's out just trying to get publicity. You want to walk this? You want me to tell you how to get some publicity? Hey, I can tell you about 10 places to go and 10 things to take, 10 signs to take and 10 things you can put on the signs. And you just go and you'll be on the 10 o'clock news. Go ahead and do it. But no, you'd rather laugh or point fingers at those of us who go and say, oh, there, look, he's a media hog. He's just a media. Really? Really? Can I tell you something? Do you have any idea how much courage it took for me to go to Hillary's? Huh? You know how I know that? Ain't nobody else doing it. Nobody else doing it. Laugh if you want to about the NFL. You have the courage to do it? You going? Have you gone to your library? You gone to your public schools and tried to do anything to stop pornography? No, you haven't. But you laugh at me and let all your other friends laugh at me because, oh, he's crazy. That guy's crazy. Really? Crazy? Am I crazy? I am, I guess. Somebody said, you're nuts. I said, yeah, I'm screwed on the right bolt. So what have you done? Courageous thing that you've done. And if you're not afraid, and if you're not laying something on the line, then it doesn't require, it doesn't take any courage. Go on the March for Life? That's courage. That takes courage to go to the March for Life. What? That's about the most courageous thing most of us have ever done. Go to the abortion clinic? You mean stand outside the abortion clinic and cower in fear as I hold a sign of aborted babies? That's the most courageous thing you've ever done? Where are men of courage? Where are we in this? Our nation, I weep when I watch those WW2 movies, those videos. It's Saving Private Ryan videos and movies. And understand those young guys were just 16, 17, 18-year-old guys that just, they had courage. They got themselves caught in a trap, and they had to finish. They couldn't retreat. They had to go forward, and they mustered up the courage, and they went forward, and they did it. And here we sit in 2020, and the devil is running everything around us. And what should we do? What should we do? Attack! No, attack! I'm in a pretty good mood today, actually. Come on in. Somebody come on in. Hey, Dave. I'm all over it, whether you admit it or not. Yeah.
Well, you know, I've mentioned several times I'm slowly going through Acts. Well, why did those guys all of a sudden have the courage?
Yeah, where did it come from, right?
And I just think, okay, so show me in the Bible where we get the entire drink of the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ. I think it comes in as you go along. I wonder if that's why we're not doing what they're doing. We're still needing that fulfillment of the Holy Spirit like they got, that full dose, that full drink of water. I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this, Rich. Hey, Jared, go to Joshua 1. Let me ask yourself this. Why do I go? Wait a minute. Why do I get courage? Why do I have courage? Now, stop a minute. I'm cowardly in a lot of ways. We all are. If I had real courage, I would be beating down the door of Planned Parenthood and going in there and arresting the guys. If I had real courage, that's what I would be doing, right? But what has caused us? It goes back to what Mark was talking about yesterday. And Jamie, can you guys feel the courage come out of Jamie Waldron? I'm listening to him, and that there's something coming out of his mouth that's touching me deeply inside. The words, spoken words, the words that I say to you, they are spirit and life. Words, words, words. Can you right now, as you sit here, can you name my mind's racing as I'm sitting here. Can you name to me a courageous pastor? I'll wait here a minute. Give me the name of a pastor that you know who is just the epitome of courage.
Dale Sosha.
Amen. Let me do this. Kyle's in here today. Kyle from Right Wing. Are you in here, Kyle? Mayor Pete is queen. Now, is that really you, Kyle? Because I don't want to defame you like you do me. Come on in, Kyle.
Coach. When you said I'm touched deep inside, I really felt it, Coach. Thank you.
Okay, Kyle. So what do you think about it, Kyle? Listen, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be kind to you. I don't want to start a fight with you. Hey, Kyle, I know this in my own life. It's Vinny. Okay. I won't go there because I'm going to tell you something. This is for him, Casey is listening, which he probably is. Being a keyboard warrior, that's cowardly, boys and girls. That ain't courage. That ain't courage. type up something somebody said about you and shoot it at that. No, that's not. So who is it? Who is the courageous Christian leader in America today? Who is the guy that when the crap hits the fan, all the media runs to? Can somebody tell me who that would be? Who's our General MacArthur? Who is it? Who's our Smedley Butler? Who's America's Christian? What was that guy's name that they Patton? Who's the Christian Patton? I'm serious as a judge here. Anybody know?
I don't know, Coach, but I do know this. Swords are forged in fire, and we won't know until the fire comes. And when the fire comes, we'll know.
Amen. 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 So see, that's what I'm saying to you. See, courage. I don't think there's anything, two things. Equally contagious. Fear and courage. They're equally contagious. They both are caught. And what I see in America more than anything is the contagion, the virus, the coronavirus of fear. The whole corona, thank you, Lord, I'm telling you, he's all over me today. The coronavirus, the reaction of America to the coronavirus is fear and self-preservation. And I'm listening to all this talk that's going on. I'm not taking a position on it. And I'm thinking, you know what? Most people, when they hear about the coronavirus, they're worried about protecting them. Their thought isn't to protect their community. Or they want to protect them and their family, right? And because we have very little courage, it might cause us to be killed. We don't go where we have to go in some of it. But the greatest virus of all is fear. That's what's propelling the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it. And the second greatest virus is courage. When someone stands up, others stand too. It's contagious. But if you have a guy standing in your pulpit, they don't have any courage, chances are pretty good there's not going to be a whole lot of it in your church either. I'm just rambling today. It is Friday. It is Flea Flicker Friday. And Dale Socia is courageous. I know some courageous guys. I do. But we don't, you know, I don't want to go around blowing the horn and say, look at me, I'm courageous. Can I tell you this? I'm pretty courageous. But why am I courageous? Because I stepped into the battle, got burnt, and came back, and I was okay. Courage comes from entering into the battle, learning the experiences of the battle, and then coming back and getting ready to do it again. The only reason I'm more courageous than you is because I've experienced more. I've faced more fire than you have.
And that's exactly right.
And if you want your courage to grow, amen, you just face the fire. And so when I see some of you guys, I don't mean that in a condescending way, and I'm trying to get people to come and get engaged. I'm thinking, boys and girls, this is kindergarten stuff. Come on. This is so simple. Come on. You're not messing with the big boys yet. Come on. You got to learn to play kindergarten ball before you can get in the NFL. Come on and do this.
Hey, Coach.
Hardest step getting them there. Yeah, Larry.
You know, being Flea Flicker Friday, here's something that is right next door, or brother to, you know, cousin and brother to sister, however you want to say it, shoulder to shoulder with what you're saying about courage in others, is this. You know, this coronavirus thing, let's forget about self-preservation and self-isolation and all that and everything. Let's just, for a second, look at the reality of what's happening around the world for a quick second, and then what might happen here. I'm not saying it's going to, or it will, but it might happen here, and that is this forced isolation and forced, not concentration, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, whatever those camps are where people go for their
I got you. Yep.
What's going to happen if, like in China right now, and in Vietnam, the whole nation has closed all their schools for at least until the end of March. But what happens when they do it here in the States, if it happens? And they say, people, stay at home. Do not go out of your homes. Don't go to work. Don't mingle with other people in any situation. And you have this forced quarantine. That was the word I was looking for. And forced isolation. People can't go to work. Most people stop getting a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So what came to my heart a couple of days ago, and I've already taken steps in four states, contacted people to get the ball rolling, is we need a way for people who still have mortgages, who owe on their homes. We need a way that if this thing does come down that way and our government tells us that we have to be quarantined and self-isolate or forced isolation, doesn't matter which, but we can't go to work and stuff, these people that lose their paychecks, they are subject to falling behind on their mortgages and stuff, and who knows how long that situation's going to last. It's not over in China yet. And there's some people in China who haven't been to work in over 2 months. Let me finish, please. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here was my idea. In each of the 50 states, and it has to be a state level thing because the federal government has no jurisdiction in this area. Each of the 50 states, we need to get our legislators to pass a law, keep it simple, keep it focused. Don't try to do everything. Pass a simple, focused law that says that if the governor of that state declares a medical emergency that includes quarantine and isolation, that all of the mortgage companies doing business in that state, on that day, they have to stop and cease charging interest on mortgage loans and have to stop and cease asking and receiving payments on mortgage loans until 30 days after the quarantine and isolation are lifted. What this will do is it will protect homeowners from losing their homes or taking a chance of putting themselves in a position to lose their homes because the government told them they couldn't go to work. It's a simple thing. Hopefully it never has to be used. But what a simple thing to put in place to help homeowners keep their primary homes.
Yeah. Good idea. Good idea, Larry. But you know why it won't happen? Simple. There ain't no courage. There ain't no courage. I mean, I'm with you, Larry. I'm not being critical. We don't have the courage to do it. We just don't. Because we're organized, motivated by fear.
Let's not say it won't happen, Coach.
Yeah,
I've already got the ball rolling in four states.
Well, then it will happen.
There you go. Cool. And okay. You got to have people willing to carry the ball. And you know, I've asked before for people to contact me to talk about stuff and maybe let's work together. I'm asking again, if you want to do something in your state, give me a call. If you're one of the four states that's already got the ball rolling, then we need more people. The more people that get involved, the more likely it will that it's going to happen the sooner.
So the Cloward and Piven strategy, I was going to talk about this today. I'm just going to throw this at you right now. I saw it last night. We were in our meeting last night. The Cloward-Piven strategy, you say, what's that? I'll update you on it later on, is this. It's the idea that you constantly, let me make it simple. It's one thing if you got a leak in your house, that all of a sudden your pipe starts leaking. That's one thing. Call a plumber and try to get him to fix that leak. But something else, if now you got leaks in every bedroom and your roof's leaking, and everywhere you look, stuff's coming into your house. You're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. See, that's been the Cloward and Piven strategy. Cause chaos in your family, chaos on your job, chaos in your city, chaos in your education, chaos. Cloward Piven strategy is to cause so much chaos that you cannot focus on any one thing. And that's what happens. You just watch what's going on in America. We move from crisis to crisis to crisis. It's designed that way, boys and girls. Designed. Because it's just designed that way. I'll go into that more later on. Robert, wait a minute. Go back to Joshua. And then Robert, get ready. Have you come in there. Got Joshua up there? I know you do. I got to find, where am I here? Okay. Now after this is Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, minister, saying, your leader's dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Your leader's dead, dude. Huh? George Washington's dead. The Apostle Paul, he dead. He's dead. Sorry, Ronald Reagan's dead. Dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you get your butt up. You get your butt up. You arise. Is that what it says? You. And go over the Jordan. You. And all his people into the land which I gave you, even to the children of Israel, and every place, morning, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Boy, church, wake up. As I said unto Moses, he laid out the boundaries. He said, hey, dude, from wilderness of Lebanon, clear to the Euphrates River, everything, hit, where the Hittites are and the Mittites are and the Pittites and the Potites, wherever they are, it's all yours. And there's not going to be any man, verse 5, is going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Why? For in this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. See, the Lord made a covenant with my daddy and my granddaddy. The Lord made a covenant with him. He swore to give it to us, right? And he said, now look, as I was with your daddies, so I'm going to be with you, and I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you. But, verse 6, there's a condition to it. Be strong. Be of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I have swore unto their fathers. See, there's a covenant with your daddy. There's a covenant with your daddy. Only be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe and do. You got to observe and do. You can't just observe. You got to observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded ye, and don't turn from the right nor the left. That you go, you just go where you're supposed to go, where we're told the deal I made with your daddies. You go follow that one. And this book shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt mediate, you shall mediate, meditate on it day and night, night and day. Why? So that your way may be prospered and do according to all that's written therein. But, verse 9, I commanded you, be strong. Be not afraid, be not dismayed. Neither, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. That's for us today. That's for us. But we are afraid. We are dismayed. We are. We're afraid and dismayed. God's people will not go and demand the covenant that the Lord made with their fathers. It is ours. That covenant is ours because our daddy's inheritance was to leave it to us. Truth, justice, the American way. It's ours. But we got to be courageous. We got to go fight for it. And we got to get it. Robert, jump in here for me, man. February 20th. Did I say yesterday? It was my mom and dad's 75th anniversary. God rest their soul. 75 years ago yesterday. It was 2-20-2020. Michelle and I noticed it on my cell phone yesterday. 2-20-2020. What a day. You ready, Robert? Is Robert not with us? Oh, well, somebody else come on in then. Unless somebody else wants to read it. I'm about done. I need a shave. I'm growing a beard.
I'll okay, coach.
Comes on.
Go ahead.
If the devil can keep you looking back, he can keep you from moving forward. Seven mountains are all the world. Jesus Christ is to have preeminence over every mountain, not just seven of them.
Amen.
Jesus clearly made his will known 2,000 years ago to his apostles and prophets pertaining to the summing up of all things in Christ, Ephesians 1:10-20. This will be ultimately realized when Christ, who is all and in all, returns. They call 3:11. But until then, the will and kingdom of God is to be sought and practiced by all the saints who have died to the old life and whose new life is hidden with Christ in God.
It has to be sought, folks. The kingdom has to be sought. The kingdom is within. The kingdom has come. You have to seek it. Go ahead, Benny.
Yeah, it's not. It's not going to seek you out. It's you know. Such ones are taught by the spirit of truth, not by a new breed of super anointed apostles and prophets.
Amen.
So Paul instructed, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Ah, goodness, my goodness.
Some seek to take dominion of seven mountains, others overcome the world.
I want the world. I don't want seven mountains. I want the world, right? He made a deal. Boys and girls, he made a deal with my daddy. And he made a deal with my daddy's daddy. And he made a deal with my daddy's daddy. And a usurper, a thief, has come in and has stolen it. And we just read in Joshua, he said, it's still yours. It's still yours. You're going to have to go get it, though. You fell asleep on the switch and you let them have it, and you're going to have to go get it. Sorry, but it's yours. You're rightful owner. There's usurpers. There's squatters. They're sitting on that land that I gave you, this land called America. Oh, yeah, but Coach, I've read the Bible, and it just says it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Yeah, so we've got to fight harder and harder and harder then, right? Because it's a covenant with our fathers.
Yeah, that's so good. I had to step away a while.
That's all right, but so, it was good, Robert.
I was glad, though, that someone else could step in and read it. That's what you're trying to do, help others participate and be involved in this. That was really good.
Because Robert, it was the spoken word again, right, Mark? It was the spoken word. Something happens when we speak. Something happens when we speak. Wow.
Well, just another quick thing. Your optical processing is completely different than your audio processing.
Well,
different parts of the brain. So it does interact with you differently. Sound gets converted into a bioelectric signatures. That's electromagnetic activity in your body, and you actually get a feeling from sound. You get a feeling. Where does that feeling? It's electromagnetic.
Came
so
down
it's
to
impacted.
Yep.
So if I could go on, it's all tied to frequencies. I'm not going to. But that you're exactly right. The spoken word is different. If you read and read out loud, you're seeing and hearing the word, which implants in your brain differently. So all of that is truth. That's science.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Jeff.
Tomorrow morning, the word will be spoken.
Yeah, thank you, man. I've had that in my notes. I never got to my notes. Anybody in Central Ohio, show up at Kenyon College tomorrow. Jeff, put your email or contact information in the queue if you can, there so they can get a hold of you. What time are you going there, Jeff?
We'll be there from 11 to 1, right on the main campus area, right there in the middle of Kenyon.
So is there any place they can meet before that, or do they just – they can just drive up in their car and look and see where you guys are and then find a place to park and join you. It's yep. Pretty simple, right?
Robert and Gary Pearson, some of them, and Roger Weaver meet me at my car lot at 10. Then we're all going to go have a little bite to eat afterwards and share the stories. It'll be good.
And courage is going to grow. Hey, Jeff, I salute your courage. I salute your willingness in the face of opposition to continually go and fight. My wife said to me yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, whenever I did the last show, she said, you got to love Jeff, man. He never quits. And there's something to be said for that, Jeff. You never quit, man. You
hey,
never
Coach,
quit. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going from the Democratic caucuses here in Nevada. That's what
cool.
I'm
going to do. Cool. Hey, you know what? Hey, Jeff, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. But the Bible says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. Now, if salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing, except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. And nobody sets a light up on a hill and puts a bushel over the back. Nobody does that, Jeff. So you go, let your light shine before men, that your Father will be glorified. This is a simple, simple job. It just takes a little bit of courage, a little bit of wisdom, and a little bit of gumption.
Coach,
we are living. Go ahead, Dale.
No, I'm about to have breakfast with a great man of courage, Flip Benham, in a half hour. He's meeting me at the hotel, so I figured I could throw that in there.
You thought I would tell Flip time he owes me one, he could buy me lunch if it was with him. But God bless Flip, because listen, courage is contagious. I learned a lot of courage from Flip Benham, a lot of courage. I saw him model courage. And it did something in me. It did something in me. And if we model courage, courage is contagious. Oh, courage is contagious. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.